All right, y'all want to start? Yeah. All right, I'm going to ask my friend, Duff James, who was my roommate in college and at Clemson University. And he is he's a pastor in Asheville, North Carolina, planting a church. And I'm going to ask if he'll pray to start us. Amen. Thank you, Duff. Just to let you know where you are, this seminar is called Help, I Want to Grow as a Christian. Okay, and this might be one of the most basic titles. And so thank you all for signing up. I know it sounds kind of boring, but I'm honored that you would think that this is worth your time. Why did some of you sign up for this? Why did you decide to come to this seminar? It's the first one you saw because it is number one for a reason. Yeah. Right now, So it's the first one, and I don't want to keep reading, so that's a good reason. What else? Any other reasons? What's that? Oh, yeah, you want to grow. Great. Okay, yeah. Maybe I haven't seen the growth that I think I ought to, right? Okay, good. What else? Just so y'all know, I planned this seminar for 40 people in a small room. I thought it would be a little bit more intimate. So we're on the fly, and we'll see how this goes. So please be patient with me. All right, what else is potentially interesting about the topic? You'll help me. Let's be friends. Yes. Oh, what else? We all need help, right? Yeah, I mean, we all want, if you're a Christian, you probably desire to grow, and so you want help in that. So what's that going to mean? Anything else? All right, well, to begin with, I just want to take a step back. So if we are going to ask the question, like, how do I grow? Help me, I want to grow. We got to step back, you know, as a Christian, we've got to step back and say, what is a Christian? Okay? And so I just want to kind of lay this out. I'm just going to speak this for a few minutes. But a Christian is someone who stops and just says, Jesus is enough. Okay? I mean, basically, oftentimes we want to grow so that we think God will love us and so that we'll get to a place where we don't think we need him anymore. Let me tell you this, you will always need Jesus. You will always need him. You will never outgrow Jesus. You might outgrow those Wranglers. You know, you might outgrow the size 31 or the size 8 or whatever size you are. But you will never outgrow Jesus. You will always need him, okay? And so a Christian is someone who stops and says, God is enough for me. He has loved me. He obeyed for me. He died for me. He rose from the dead for me. And I have nothing except him that will make me right with God. All right? And I think this is really important because most of the time we tend to approach God in such a way that, like going to middle school, you know, in middle school you don't have, I assume at your middle school, who's in middle school? At middle school, no, nobody? I thought this was a middle school conference. Okay, so in middle school, they don't give you lockers. You know, I don't know if you're high school, you have lockers, right? Because you store your weapons and your drugs in there. So they've taken your lockers away. But, you know, so you've got these big backpacks that just like, you know, like make you go to the physical therapist, right? And you just load them up with everything. And I think one of the ways that we have a tendency to want to approach God is we load up the backpack and we want to walk up to him and we want to say, hey, look at this. What do you think? What do you think? And then we pull out the next thing. What do you think? What do you think? Is this it? Is this enough? And I pull out another one. Is this enough? Is this enough? Right? And what the Christian does is he just gets rid of the backpack and he says, Jesus is enough. We can think about it another way. You can think about approaching God sort of like Instagram and Snapchat. Matt kind of talked about this. But you know, you put the image out there. And so it's always like the amazing meal. It's like the amazing vacation. It's the promposals. You know, that was like, oh my gosh, he gave me a tree. And, you know, or what, I don't know. Yes. Right? And so we, you know, we have all of, you know, and so we're hoping that as we put up all these images of us, that God will say, like. That he'll like all these things. And so we put this image of perfection in front of the world. And we try to put it in front of God, hoping that he will like us enough. And that he might believe the image. But as Christians, we go to the Instagram and we go to the Snapchat and we put the nice meal and we put the cereal. Just eating cereal, eating Eggo waffles once again, right? I mean, we sort of put up photos of ourselves without the makeup. We put photos of ourselves when we're sad, crying. We put up the photos when we're sick, when we're struggling, you know, like in our workouts. You know, we're honest about who we are, and what makes it possible for the Christian to be honest about their life and not just have to live the Instagram life or the Snapchat life or the, are people still doing Vines? I know, they don't exist anymore. I was just playing. I was trying to be like, I know. I'm down. I drink Sunny D like the kids. But so, you know, but what is it that allows us to be honest and not have to live the Instagram? It's that Jesus has already been liked. Jesus already likes you. Like, I think that so often we want to grow just so that we think God will like us. I just want to say God already loves you. He already cares about you. He knows that you eat Eggo waffles and he loves it. He loves you, all right? And so to begin with, we don't grow in order to be loved. We grow because we are already loved by God, okay? That's so important, so foundational for what we're getting ready to talk about, okay? What I want you to do right now is I want you to talk to the person next to you for a few moments, and I want you to ask each other this question. What does it look like to grow as a Christian? What do I think it would look like to grow as a Christian? Okay? Talk amongst yourselves for a few moments. All right. Stop talking. All right, so real quick, what are some of the things that you came up with? What is it going to look like to grow? What are your thoughts? What are your assumptions? Yes. Okay, we're done. That's it, right? So what she said is over time, there's this growing dependence upon God, right? And we're going to talk about that in 2 days. Fantastic. That's the answer at the end. So you can go to another one. Okay. I'm just kidding. what else? It's not Harrison. What is it? Anderson? Tommy Hilfiger. What is it? No, you're fine. Overall, just to become more like Jesus. All right. That's today. All right, yeah.
So the thing for me is just kind of, I take it for granted sometimes, like forgetting that he's even there. Just like in your everyday life, remember that he's always there.
Yeah, the struggle is just forgetting that he even is, right? And then wanting to become, growing to like recognize his presence and his existence more often, right? That's an element of growth, right? Fantastic. Anything else? Okay, yeah. The desire to become more obedient to God and his word, right? I think this is interesting. Sometimes we like obedience, but we divorce obedience from the person of obedience, right? And so we say it's all these things, but we divorce God from the stuff. So like all obedience, like to obey somebody implies what? That there's a giver, right? There's one whom to whom you are obeying. And so like when my children disobey and they don't clean their rooms, right? And they don't wash the dishes and they don't make my bed, and I've told them to, right? They're not just disobeying, it's personal, right? Our obedience is a personal matter with God, right? It's not arbitrary, it's not abstract. It's about the person of God with whom we relate. So your obedience is always an act of faith. It's always an act of love towards your Creator, your Savior. Right? Make sense? All right. Good. Well, these are all great things, and so thanks for your courage to share. What I kind of want to do during this seminar is both reinforce the things that y'all already know and the chart, which we'll also draw. Stole it. Anyway, so we want to reinforce those things, but also reshape our vision of growth because I think that our expectations of growth are actually really important. So because think about it this way. If your youth pastor said, hey, we're going to Harry Potter World this week, and then sweet, right? Y'all just said sweet. Butterbeer. I can't wait to get drunk on butterbeer, right? And then I'm going to ride the dragon ride that goes forwards and then backwards, and then I'm going to throw up. It's going to be awesome. But when you show up at RYM, right, it's good. It's awesome. But I thought we were going to Harry Potter World. It's a little disappointing, right? Like if you know, just, okay, just play along. You get, it breaks down somewhere. But, right, your expectations actually sort of matter. And I think that's oftentimes the case for us in Christianity because we think that our growth is supposed to look like something. And then when we look at our life, and it's like, it doesn't quite look like that. And what happens when you start looking at your life and you're like, it doesn't really look like those expectations that I had? What do? Somebody tell me. You're depressed. Maybe you turn away. Get angry. You hate yourself. You hate God. He's not working, right? Or you think it ought to feel a certain way. Like, if I'm growing, it ought to feel like this. Like, when you were a kid, you know, and you got those growing pains. Anybody remember the growing pains? For 2 weeks, I couldn't walk because I grew this tall, like, in 3 days. And it hurt. Now, so the growing pains, right, like, they're painful. And you think, oh, like, Christian growth ought to feel a certain way. There should be some sort of excitement. There should be some sort of pain, whatever it would be. And then when it doesn't feel that way, what do you than experience in your life? Somebody's speaking, whispering over here. You feel disappointment, right? You feel dead, doubtful, like you're doing something wrong, right? Does that make sense? And so we get frustrated, we get confused. And sometimes we want these highs, sometimes we want to have a better mood, and then we look at our lives, and our lives are sort of messy, and then we think, well, if I was really growing, my life would get cleaned up. And as I said a few minutes ago, we want to get to this place where we think, oh, I don't really need Jesus anymore. That means I grew. Right? Does that make sense? But Christianity, it always begins and it always ends with us in need of Jesus and his grace. Even when you go to heaven, like you think when you go to heaven, you'll know everything. Like you'll be able to do whatever you want. Like even in heaven, you will be dependent upon God for knowing. You'll be dependent upon him. For him to receive from him. Like, even in heaven, it's an experience of God's grace to you, where he constantly pours forth all of his blessings, all of his goodness to you. And you're not going to know everything about this world when you get to heaven. Because you never will come to the end of the depth of the glory and the beauty and the goodness and the creativity of God himself. You will just continue to grow in your knowledge and love of him. It's amazing. All right, so it begins and it ends with our need and our dependence upon Jesus and his grace. And oftentimes, when we begin to think about Christianity and growing, our expectations are about some sort of exciting thing and stuff like that. But oftentimes, Christianity is just boring. How many of you find Christianity kind of boring at times? Right? How many of you are Matt Howell without a shirt on, everybody waving, right? See you. Have fun at the beach, Matt. Thanks for coming. He left already. He's done. Right? But we oftentimes, like, we want to think, like, oh, favorite book. I'm supposed to say it's the Bible, but it's really Harry Potter, right? You know what I'm saying? And oftentimes, Christianity and growth is just sort of the boring, ordinary, normal things. Reading your Bible. Going to church. Praying. It's what theologians call the means of grace. How is it that God promises to meet with you? He promises that by his Spirit, he will meet with you in his word, in his sacraments, and in prayer, in the context of community. Like, if you're going to grow as, who wants to be an Olympic skier? I don't know. We're making this thing up. Who wants to be an Olympic skier? Nobody. Well, okay, great. You want to be an Olympic skier. In order to become an Olympic skier, what do you have to do?
Practice.
You got to practice.
You
got to have a good coach. You have to have some talent. You got to be physically. I mean, but it begins. You don't begin in Lake Placid, right, at the top of the mountain. Well, that's funny. When I was a youth pastor at Clemson Presbyterian, we had this guy, and we went on a ski trip. Never skied before. And so we go up to the top. He's like, well, I guess this is what you do. I've seen it on television. So he gets on the ski lift, gets up to the top, falls, right, trying to get off the ski lift. And then he goes, well, this, I mean, like black diamond, and like I just watched it go, like, and then he'd get up. Right. Anyway, we're off topic. So my point is this. Like, if you want to grow, you just have to, like, you begin, and then you get up and you do it again, 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 and eventually you get better. Eventually, you're growing. Right? Does that make sense? But it's a lot of boring, hard work. It's a lot of getting up in the morning. It's a lot of all those sorts of things. Anyway, and what I want you to know is if you want to grow as a Christian, you cannot neglect the ordinary things. Like, we think about Christianity and growing as Christianity as sort of like the superstar stuff, the exciting stuff. And Christianity is being faithful in the ordinary things of your life. Loving your mom and your dad. Being kind to your brother and your sister, reading the Bible, going to church, loving those that are hard to love. It's just ordinary. It's going to school. I'm not saying you have to make A's. I'm just saying you go. You stay out of jail, all right? Or if you go to jail, I don't know. But anyway. And so what I want us to think about as we think about Christian growth over these next 3 days, I want to think about three things. The reason I want to think about three things is because we have 3 days. All right, so point number one will be the direction of Christian growth. Day number two will be the arena of Christian growth. And day number three, who knows? Nobody? How do y'all know? That's on the handout. Okay, it will be the story of Christian growth. All right, so let's begin with the direction. All right, so y'all can't see this. It's not personal. It's just where you sat. So I'm an artist. I really am an artist, but this is just a stick figure. I'm a painter. which is obvious. All right, so we've got Duff right here, right? My friend Duff. And we want to see Duff grow, right? What are your hopes? What are your hopes? Or not? Let's take a step back. What do you know? This could be any human. I just named him Duff because I love Duff. But what do you know about this person? Any person? Not the stick figure. What do we know about humans? What do you know about people? Okay, we start with sinful. Sinful, 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 sinful. All right, what else do we know? Selfish. You're selfish? Selfish. Selfish. Selfish? 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 Stubborn. All right, stubborn. I love the alliteration. All right. All right, stubborn. What else do we know? Oh, we don't have to stay on S's. There's more to human beings than being sinful, selfish, stubborn, stupid. What else do we know? Oh, there we go. All right. Can you start that with an S? So it'll be smimage, the smimage, imago Dei. All right, just to throw in some like foreign language. I don't know what, is it Latin? Latin, all right. So the imago Dei, what does that mean? What does it mean, imago Dei? Image of, okay, come on. Let me draw a mustache on you because you're killing me. All right, I'm just kidding. Image of God, what does it mean? What do you mean by that? Yeah, great. So humanity's been made in God's image, which gives them not only, like, they have certain, I mean, they have a unique, there's a, what's that? We have a soul, and you know what else you have? A body, right? We have souls and bodies, right? We're made in God's image. We have dignity. We have value. We have worth. We have beauty. We have a sense of morality, dignity, right? All these things. A sense of the divine, the sensus divinitas, right? The knowledge of God deep within our souls, a knowledge of a sense of the immortal, a sense of something bigger, a sense of meaning, right? All these things. What else do you know about Duff? So imago Dei, sinful, selfish, stubborn. What else? Oh, I'm sorry. Craving? Ooh. Craving. C-R-A-V. Word of origin? No. Craving? Longing? Is that another way to say it? Longing? All right, great. Longing, right? Desire. Desire, right? We have a longing for something greater. We have a longing for to be different. We have a longing to begin to re-image God, to be who we were made to be, right? There's a sense in which I don't feel like I'm who I was made to be. How do I get there? I want to be different. What else? As someone who's made in the image of God, we're made to worship. Yeah, great. What else? A hedonist? How so? Okay, yeah. So we'll use hedonism, and it can be both positive or negative, right? It's this desire for joy, a desire for to be loved, a desire to have fun, right? What's that?
No, that word's just funny. I said it out loud.
Oh, someone in the back. Fantastic. As part of being an image bearer, right, we are made for community. right? You can't, you don't, we don't exist alone. Like, we don't exist alone, right? But also the Trinity, if we're image bearers, we're made for community, right? The Trinity is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, one community, right? Three persons, right? We're made for community. We're made to be in relationship with others. What else? A sense of self that goes good and bad, an over-sense of self, but still a sense of being, right? Also giftedness. Everybody's uniquely gifted, right? All of you are uniquely broken. Like, the sins that I struggle with aren't the same sins you struggle with. Doesn't mean that my sins are better. Doesn't mean my sins are worse. They're different. And one of the things that's amazing is that Jesus meets each and every one of us in our own particular brokenness. And so therefore, our growth isn't necessarily going to look the same because God is healing me in the ways that I am particularly broken, and he's healing you in the ways that you are particularly broken. And one of the beautiful things about living and experiencing community is that we get to begin to hear each other's stories about how God is meeting you. And you begin to learn different things about the character of God. You begin to learn different aspects of his healing and of his kindness, right? As we talk about God within community, right? So we're uniquely broken. We're uniquely gifted, right? Does this make sense? See what I'm saying? All right, so summary. Sinner, but also sinned against. Some of us have been significantly sinned against, and that impacts every aspect of your life. It sits in your limbic brain, and it just is always afraid, and it's constantly forcing you to build up walls from each other. It's constantly forcing you to try to protect yourself, right? We've all been sinned against in our own particular ways. We're also sinners. We're uniquely gifted. We're uniquely needy. And so as we look at Duff up here, Duff is what Francis Schaeffer called a glorious ruin. He is a glorious ruin, beautiful, kind, funny, passionate, creative, and hurt. And he hurts other people. He doesn't like that about himself. He just does it. Right? We're all glorious ruins. All right? So, in light of those things, what do you hope, as you think about his growth, what do you hope for him? What time do I have till? 10. Oh, no. We're on page 2. All right. What do you hope for him? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Anybody? I'll read it. All right. And he gave the apostles. It's on your sheet, by the way, unless you just want to open up your Bibles, which you can do. I'm not going to say don't open your Bible. But if you don't want to open your Bible, it's on your sheet. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. All right, looking at that passage, what seems to be the goal for the body of Christ, for the people of God? Growth. What's that? Okay, so there's a dynamic of unity, right? Unity in the faith. What else? Is this over? All right. Yeah, we got time. What else? What else seems to be the goal? We have till 11:30. I'm still right. I have till 11:30. Is that right? Okay, 10:30. Well, it's 11:30 in Knoxville. So I have till 11:30. What else? What else? What else seems to be the goal in the passage?
Have a sure foundation.
Have a sure foundation. Right, you hear in that, you hear in the passage, right? Immaturity, maturity runs through it, right? So you grow up. How does that happen? Or there's a unity of faith, there's a sure foundation so that you're not blown that way. You're not blown that way. That's how Paul wrote it. What else? If you look in the original text, he's like, sure, not blown that way. Anyway, that's how I imagine it. What else? There's a growth in love, right? What else? Okay, yeah, there's a speaking the truth, right? There's a speaking. I can't. What else? Anything else? What I want you to see, notice how it goes. So listen to the way it progresses. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, craftiness, and deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love, we grow up in every way, how? Into him who is the head, into Christ. What is the goal of the unity, of the speaking, of the foundation? What is the goal? What does it lead you to? The fullness of Christ, which he calls mature manhood, right? Mature humanness. The direction of our growth is the restoration of the Imago Dei. It is the returning to whom you were made to be. And what does that look like? It looks like Jesus. Right? Where or how do you see that? How does this, let's see, how do I want to ask this question? So the goal is Christ's likeness. Right? That's the direction of growth. Where does that happen? Look in the text. Where does it happen? How is that going to happen? I want you to notice it happens in community. It happens in the church. Duff is whispering to his group. It happens in the church. Notice how it's all the we's. Verse 13, we all attain. Verse 14, we may no longer. Verse 15, we are to grow up. Verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and held together. Right? You see it saying in verse 16, we speak. The context of verse 11 and 12 is the church itself, right? We do this together, right? And then what will that growth look like? It'll look like maturity, but what will maturity look like? It'll look like Jesus, right? Then what is what holds the whole thing together? What does it look like? It looks like obedience, but what is obedience? It's love, right? What I want you to see is that the direction of our growth is love. obedience divorced from love is what? It's boring, dull, dry. Duff? Duty. sorry. Right? I mean, so what? And what does God tell us? What does Jesus tell us is the greatest commandment? Love God, love your neighbor. Right? The direction of your growth is going to be love. So what I want you to see, it's 11:30, is that God's goal for you is that you would be a better lover. That's what he wants for you. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for time together, and we pray that we would become more like you and that we would grow in a greater love for you and a greater love for one another. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.